The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
You know, I got enough aggravation in my life with all the nonsense in local politics, all the criminals I'm trying to corral in elected office every single day. I got enough on my plate between noon and three. I don't need a bunch of nonsense from whack jobs the other parts of the day. Welcome to the big show. We've got quite the extravaganza put together for you. Coming to you from the Carter Subaru Studio and streaming on Facebook Live. Let's get right into the big lead.
The big lead. I sense a Dory rant coming on.
Now, we've talked about this a lot. Nicole, can you confirm what I... Because I think that I'm... If nothing else, I have a healthy amount of self-awareness. There are a lot of people who don't really understand how they're perceived. And all. I think that I'm really good in
that
category.
You're very aware of how you're perceived.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I just don't care how I'm perceived. But as part of my self-awareness, I think that I can say with confidence that when I'm off the air, I'm a pretty mellow dude.
You're chill.
I don't think we've ever had a crossword with each other in three years of working together.
No.
Which is, you know, kind of unusual for hosts and producers.
I think that's actually both of our personalities. And so we're just chill.
I don't think my wife and I have ever had harsh, what I would consider really harsh words in 31 years of marriage. It's just not my temperament when I'm off the air. So I don't need a bunch of morons provoking me when I'm off the air. So last night, I'm doing show prep. I'm just looking for stuff to entertain the Pacific Northwest today. And all of a sudden, I see this tweet from some far left regressive think tank. And it says, "Hey, all you rail haters out there. Yes, that means you, Dory Monson, and all your brethren. Did you hear? Well, snow has wreaked havoc on the roads. Sound Transit's Link Light Rail has been running trouble-free. Hurrah for Link." So, I write back to them. And I say, well, they're 13 years behind schedule. They're tens of billions of dollars over budget. They were built on lies, telling people that they would reduce congestion in the Puget Sound area when their own environmental impact statement admitted that they would not. They had as their chairman the former King, or I think he was the King County executive at the time, a man of God. A minister, Ron Sims, who came on my show and lied to my listeners and me in the mid-2000s because they wanted to get phase two voter approved. And what Ron Sims didn't know was that I had, through a source, gotten access to the Sound Transit books. And I knew that they did not have enough money to get to the U District, which they promised they would do by 2006. They are still not to the U District. They're to Husky Stadium, which is not the U District. And they had to shift the route because they were so short on cash. But I had the man of God, the minister, Ron Sims, look me in the eye in this studio and lie to my face. Lie to my listeners. The man of God. I remember a newspaper columnist a few months ago said, "It's too bad we don't still have people like Ron Sims, a man of God in politics." And I thought, you know, I think Ron Sims is going to have some answering to do. And maybe he's already, you know, begged for the forgiveness. But to lie to people to get them to tax themselves tens of billions of dollars, I think that's evil. So anyway, when I see a tweet that just out of the blue calls me out, I hadn't been tweeting about anything last night, and talks about how Link Light Rail has been running trouble-free, 13 years and counting behind schedule. That's trouble-free. Tens of billions of dollars over budget, and that's trouble-free. Because to regressive think tanks on the far left, screwing over the taxpayers means nothing to them. When the lower income, working class, middle class are having their car tabs illegally calculated so a rogue, criminally corrupt agency can extract even more money from them. I always thought the regressives were, you know, they always pretend. They built their name on how much they care for the poor and the working class. But nobody gets screwed over by Sound Transit more than the poor and the working class. The people in Pierce County who said no, and they're getting taxed on it. And they have the audacity, because of 2 days of snow where nobody was going to work, and I'd love to have the ridership numbers for those 2 days that it ran trouble-free. By the way, I drove to work Monday and Tuesday and today trouble-free. So it's not like they accomplished anything groundbreaking with that. But for a far-left regressive think tank to say that Sound Transit's been running trouble-free when they are ripping off people to the extent they are, when they were built on lies, when they had a chairman in Ron Sims who lied to my face and lied to the voters so he could get even more money. They lied to the legislature to get Sound Transit 3. Now, shame on the people who vote yes on Sound Transit. Because if you listen to my show, you'd know from the beginning what a scam. But it's a criminal enterprise. When Peter Rogoff wants to have a fundraiser for Dow Constantine at his Queen Anne mansion, until my colleague Todd Herman busts them on how it's a violation of ethics rules, but they want to buy off anything that could be an oversight. They're destroying suburban towns like the town in which I live, where Sound Transit wants to fundamentally change a city that's been beautiful and wonderful for the 30 years that I've lived there. Sound Transit wants to destroy it. And for these far left people to go on Twitter. So anyway, I respond. And I should know better than to try to argue with a liberal, because they're cowards fundamentally. But I invited them. I said, hey, come on my show and defend what a wondrous agency this is. And then Sound Transit likes the far left think tank's tweet. And so I write back to Sound Transit on Twitter. I said, hey, if you like the tweet, come on my show Wednesday and defend yourselves. You know what I heard in exchange? Nothing. Silence. They just kept tweeting out these propaganda lines that, if challenged by somebody like me, I would destroy them. I would destroy them in a conversation about whether the benefits outweigh the massive criminal ripoff. And so I sent out another tweet, because I emailed Nicole and I said, hey, will you get hold of this regressive far left think tank and Sound Transit and personally invite them to come on Wednesday's show? And were you able to do that this morning?
Well, I invited them, yes. Mm-hmm. I also have not heard anything back.
No response.
None.
Huh.
It is interesting to me that they want, like, they know we're going to rail on them the next day. And I don't know.
That's a good little pun. That's a pun there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I don't know what they think.
I don't know what they get from it.
They get me, who would not have talked about Sound Transit today. It gives me another opportunity to remind people what a criminal enterprise it is, how it's designed to just steal money from citizens to enrich developers and contractors and labor unions and do absolutely nothing to reduce congestion in the Puget Sound area. It gave me another opportunity to remind people that they are more than 13 years behind schedule and $10 billion over budget on the U District, even though they had a huge $1 million celebration at Husky Stadium because they claim to be on time and on budget. Because they did a reset. So, you cowards, come on, have a conversation. If it's so great, you could certainly withstand the scrutiny of a little old talk show host from Ballard. I mean, come on. I spent a couple of years at Shoreline Community College. How smart can I be? No offense to all my fellow Shoreline Spartans. No, I don't remember. I don't know what the nickname is at Shoreline. I spent a year at the Ron Bailey School of Broadcast. I got scammed out of $3,500. How smart can I be? I went to the University of Washington. That was a good school.
They're the Dolphins. I didn't know
what?
That. I just looked it up.
Shoreline Community College?
The mascot is a dolphin. I didn't know.
What? What sense does that make?
I don't know. I just...
The Dolphins? What? We don't have any dolphins up here.
Well, we also don't have any, I don't know, Seahawks or Borderites.
You got Borderites? You were a Borderite.
But it's not a thing.
Yeah, it was.
It's a made-up thing.
Oh, you lived on
like
the border.
Shoreline Dolphins are kind of made up.
Shoreline Dolphins? That's really weird. Anyway, my point being, how smart can I be? Certainly, all of you, with your teams of PR experts and spin doctors, with your Ivy League educated people. See, I couldn't even think of a better word than people there. That's how dumb I am. It would be your entire team of taxpayer-subsidized six-figure goons against me. How in the world would you not destroy me in a debate on the merits, the cost versus the benefit of this rogue criminal enterprise? And in fact, you could still sue me if you wanted for continually calling you a criminal enterprise, for continually saying that you're the most wasteful public agency in the history of the United States of America. And if you choose to, wait till you see what this little lone wolf talk show host will discover in, or will get out of the discovery process of a court case. So anyway, nice job to the left-wing loony institute.
We did just get an email, too, from a listener, Dan, who said Monday night during the snowpocalypse that they are quoting they were trouble-free, he waited for almost an hour for a disabled car to be cleared in front of him. So I don't
really
think that's trouble-free.
Wow. So you mean a liberal was lying on Twitter? I thought Jack banned you for that, for liberal lies on Twitter. So anyway. Public invitation. You can have your teams of PR experts and your goon squad of taxpayer-funded six-figure lackeys. You can bring in all the people in the studio, and you can whisper things to each other when I ask a question. And it'll just be me on the other side. Surely you could destroy me in a debate. So, public invitation, once again, to the lunatic left-wing think tank that wants an income tax in our state, by the way. They're just craving this think tank an income tax in our state. And Sound Transit, open invitation to both of them that if you ever want to come on and tell me about the wondrous benefits, open invitation. It'll be 1 on 5, 10, 20, whatever you want it to be. You can attack me en masse. Next up in the big lead.
The big lead. Your tax dollars at work.
And then in kind of a related topic, but this is huge. Well, we were on the air yesterday. Gavin Newsom, the governor of California, they've been planning this high-speed rail line between San Francisco and Los Angeles. Actually, it was supposed to be from Sacramento to San Francisco, San Francisco to L.A., L.A. to San Diego. And they told the people down there, we can build this for $33 billion. The latest price tag, $98 billion before they even get started. They've got some stanchions built and stuff like that. And Gavin Newsom yesterday, the governor of California, said, yeah, we can't go ahead with high-speed rail because it's too expensive.
And there's no doubt that our state's economy and quality of life depend on improving transportation. But let's be real. The current project, as planned, would cost too much and respectfully take too long. There's been too little oversight and not enough transparency. Right now, there simply isn't a path to get from Sacramento to San Diego, let alone from San Francisco to L.A.
Okay, actually, you should have said it the other way around, from San Francisco to L.A., let alone Sacramento to San Diego. But that's okay. So Gavin Newsom, who is way far left, he proved something yesterday. Our governor, Jay Inslee, is much further to the left than even Gavin Newsom of California, because Jay Inslee still wants to do a new agency that would build high-speed rail from Vancouver, B.C. to Portland right through Seattle. He did an appearance up with the premier of British Columbia a few months ago.
This is exciting. It's exciting anytime you can create a long-term vision that's going to help your communities grow. And there are very few things that we can do to display our mutual optimism and our mutual can-do spirit than to invest in this high-speed corridor from Portland to Seattle to Vancouver. And the reason is that when you look at this beautiful city, you see the future that can only be magnified by a connection to Seattle to Portland. And when you build a high-speed rail line, you are building a monument to optimism.
A monument to optimism. No, it's all called an impossible dream. And California, which is a lunatic left state, the governor there recognized that. So what does this tell us about Jay Inslee? That he's that much, he's still clinging to this high-speed rail from BC to Portland through Seattle. What does this tell us about Jay Inslee? Tell you what, I'm going to take a quick time out, and when we come back, the John and Ken Show on KFI Radio in Los Angeles, it is the dominant afternoon drive show in Southern California, and they're watchdogs of their local government, just as I am of ours. And John Cobell of the John and Ken Show, he's going to join me next to talk about what Jay Inslee is clinging to, this high-speed rail dream, what it means to taxpayers, and what it tells us about Jay Inslee. We'll do that coming up next. That is your Big Lead for today.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
Yeah, we'll get you some news, and then John Cobell to the John and Ken Show in L.A. We'll answer some questions that you need to know about our government and our politics here next on the Dory Monson Show. Telling you for a long time, Sound Transit is the most wasteful public agency in the history of the United States of America. And I said, if they do high-speed rail down in California, that will likely supplant Sound Transit as the most wasteful. But shockingly, the governor of California, Gavin Newsom, yesterday said that it's going to cost too much. And he is suspending at least the San Francisco to Los Angeles concept of high-speed rail. However, here in our state, in our region, Governor Jay Inslee is still determined to put in high-speed rail between Vancouver, B.C. and Portland, Oregon. And I want to get you a perspective on this. The dominant radio show in Southern California and afternoon drive is the John and Ken Show on KFI, and John Cobell joins us here on Cairo Radio. John, it's good to talk with you.
Good to talk with you.
I know that you guys are a bit like I run my show up here. You're great watchdogs of government. How outrageous was this high-speed rail plan that's been in the works for years there?
There is no way to quantify how outrageous it was. Like, the English language doesn't have words to explain what a colossal fraud this was. This was a proposition on the ballot that was voted on,
yeah,
and it passed. But it promised for $33 billion, remember that number, $33 billion, they would build a high-speed train that went from Sacramento to San Francisco to Los Angeles all the way down to San Diego.
Okay.
And the L.A. to San Francisco part was going to be 2 hours and 40 minutes. Well, we ended up with L.A. to San Francisco only. They killed the San Diego leg. They killed the Sacramento leg. And the remaining leg was going to cost $98 billion, not $33
billion. So triple.
Triple the price for about half the mileage. And they figured out there was no way to get the train to San Francisco in 2 hours and 40 minutes. It was going to be four and a half hours at best.
Man.
And they never bought the land that they needed to. They got tied up in lawsuits because nobody wanted to sell. They ran into environmental lawsuits. They built very little of it. They built a lot of, somebody called it the other day, Jerry Brown's Stonehenge. You've got some pillars that are meant, like stanchions,
yeah,
to hold the rail up over viaducts.
Right.
And that's about all you can see. And it's probably eventually going to be abandoned. And 1,000 years from now, people are going to come and see these monuments and wonder, what the hell is this?
You know, here, what they want to do, this Vancouver to Portland, our governor says that we need the link between Seattle and Portland. It would cost more to buy a ticket on the high-speed rail than it would cost to fly. It would operate much less frequently than flights between Seattle and Portland. And there's zero benefit to the consumer, except our governor, he wants to run for president as the green president. And this is all about wanting to waste money so he can burnish his credentials with the far left, yeah, green crowd.
Green is the new racket.
Yeah.
What happens with these green companies that are politically connected is they get a lot of taxpayer money. And they produce no usable products in a lot of cases. This high speed rail is a great example. Your airline comparison is a great example. We have, I don't know how many dozens of planes fly from LA to San Francisco every day. And depending on when you buy the ticket, you can get a ticket on Southwest for $63.
Yeah.
'Cause I know I've done that. And you get there in about 50 minutes. There was no market for this. There's none. People don't travel on train, nor do they want to travel on train from L.A. to San Francisco. Nobody would use the stupid thing. And I was just on the 5 freeway going from here to Berkeley a few weeks ago. The 5 is fine once you get out of L.A.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, we were going 95 miles an hour on the open highway. There are no traffic jams until you get to San Francisco. So the whole thing is preposterous. I suspect. In fact, we had an assemblyman on yesterday, and he said, if you really look at all the documents and look at the names, the people running high-speed rail used to work for the companies that got high-speed rail contracts. I think it's all corrupt.
Oh,
I think these are a bunch of criminals.
Oh, I absolutely do, John. And, you know, I referenced as I was introducing you Sound Transit, which is a Seattle region light rail system. The price tag on this, John, is going to be close to $100 billion. They're 13 years behind schedule. They just got the voters to approve a $54 billion phase three a couple of years ago. And by their own admission, it does nothing to reduce congestion. And you got a bunch of developers and contractors and labor unions that are getting stinking rich and no benefit for the region with it.
That's the purpose of these projects.
Yes.
But what they need is a cover story. So the latest cover story that seems to emotionally manipulate people is, well, we've got to save the planet from global warming. And people go, well, I guess we've got to do that now, don't we? We don't want the oceans to boil over. So, yeah, I guess this is a good thing. And most people have no idea about the science of global warming either way, right?
Right.
They don't.
Yeah.
But the average person is easily scared and shamed because if you object to something like high-speed rail, well, what do you want, a polluted environment? And you're supposed to, you know, bow your head and hide in the corner. How dare you? It's a scam. It's a racket. The people who enrich themselves are the same ones who always enrich themselves from insider government construction projects.
So
it's gone on since the beginning of government.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. What does it say to my listeners? Oh, yeah. Go ahead.
No, I grew up in New Jersey,
yeah,
where the mob controlled the construction industry.
Mm-hmm.
They controlled asphalt, cement, you name it. Right. They were infested into the government agencies that built bridges and tunnels. And I grew up less than a mile from an interstate highway, Interstate 80. When I was still college age in the early 80s, they started rebuilding Interstate 80, repaving it. 20 years later, I went back with my kids and my wife to go visit my parents. 20 years later, I drove up the ramp near my house. They were still working. It was the same project.
We have the
20-year repaving project.
We have the exact same thing down in Tacoma, just south of us, that's been going on forever. You're absolutely right. So in closing here, John, because you know how leftist your governor is, the Cato Institute a couple of months ago said Jay Inslee, our governor, was 50 out of 50 when it comes to taxation and spending. But just from your perspective, what does it say to my listeners, to me, when our governor clings to high-speed rail and even Gavin Newsom says it's too expensive? What does it say that our governor is fiscally to the left of Gavin Newsom?
That he's an idiot and irresponsible. There's no way else to put it. And you know what irritates me?
What?
This discussion. So often it's about left-wing, right-wing, liberal, conservative. This is about corruption. This is about incompetence. The California High-Speed Rail Authority is corrupt. It's stealing tax money. It's not right or left, environmental or non-environmental. It is it is like the mafia, which controlled the construction industry back east. It's a way to suck money out of people. And they do it really well, but you need a cover story. And the cover story of the decade right now is global warming. And if Jay Inslee has a similar setup in Washington, then it's just to cover up some corrupt operation to suck money out of people. It's not going to change the environment at all.
Right.
The globe is not going to be affected whether we have high-speed rail in California or not. It's just total, absolute nonsense.
I've said it a million times. If a private company operated the way Sound Transit does, the feds would come in with RICO statutes and bust it up immediately. But government can get away with
it. It's the people's fault. If you elect criminals, you can't be shocked when they engage in criminal behavior. Stop voting for these people.
Amen.
I don't know what else to do. You know, the idiots here in California approved this high-speed rail thing 10 years ago. Well, they got what they deserved. They deserve to have billions of dollars stolen from them.
Yep. Amen.
You can't blame bank thieves for holding up banks. It's what they do.
John Kovelt is the co-host of the John and Ken Show, KFI Los Angeles. It's always great talking with you, John. I appreciate you coming on with me.
Anytime.
Okay. All right. Thank you, sir. And I'd love to hear your thoughts on this. The Online Trading Academy text line is 98973. Lots more straight ahead as the Dory Monson Show rolls on. Oh, my. We have some genuine breaking news just coming in to the Dory Monson Show.
Breaking news.
Seattle City Councilman Mike O'Brien has just announced he will not run for re-election for his city council seat. One of the, I don't know, targets? But rightfully so. Mike O'Brien, with his snide condescension to the people in his district who wanted to get back the streets, the people of Fremont and Ballard and Finney Ridge who were sick and tired of drug vagrants everywhere, and they'd go to community meetings. Oh, can you find one other? We're just scrambling because we just got this. Would you get the one at the community meeting where he's, oh, you have that one too? Oh, you already, oh, look at you, Nicole.
Well, I don't know if it's the exact one you want, but it's my favorite.
Okay. So, Mike O'Brien, who has never wanted for anything for one day in his life, he went from Clyde Hill to Lakeside High School to Duke University, comes back home and starts condescending to everybody. And, yeah, so much of him, the reason that he became such a target was when the tunnel was going to be tolled. And we were talking about how some people can't afford giving the government $500 or $1,000 a year in tolls. So they're going to have to get off out of the tunnel and get on the streets of downtown.
Well, so like one option is folks that are on 99 that are going to try to divert to get out of the tunnel because they don't want to pay that toll. Do we have some sort of toll that says, hey, you're going to pay a toll one way or the other. So if you're going to use a tunnel, just use it.
So if you can't afford the tunnel, if you're too poor to be able to give the government an extra $500 to $1,000 a year, his solution, well, we'll just toll all the streets of downtown Seattle. I liked it when there was the big community rally and people said, we have too much crime in our neighborhood and you're enabling it with your lax policies towards drugs and drug vagrants.
Ready? Go. If property crime is committed, violence is committed, you need to call 911 and the police.
Because the residents all knew 911's not even responding to calls because there's so much crime out there. And when our listener, Erica, confronted him on, you got to start arresting the drug vagrants. And this was the one that showed just how out of touch Mike O'Brien is.
You're telling us you're going to you're allowing drug use at these. That is right there saying go ahead and disobey the law. In the same breath that you're saying, well, we are telling the police not to do that. You're allowing them to break the law with no path to treatment.
Sit down with the police chief or any of the command staff, and what they say is like, we know that arresting people that simply have an addiction issue is not a solution to the problem.
So we're
not saying don't do it. But they don't do it because it makes absolutely no sense.
There's not enough of them. They're not even staffed properly. And so then you put the Whittier Heights in there, and the same thing the community officer said, we're not prepared to even deal with what we have right now.
Do you agree that the war on drugs was a failure, or do you think that was a success?
I don't even want to get into your politics about this whole thing. That's not working, but this isn't working. So let's not talk about things that haven't worked and then keep doing the things that don't work.
In fact, Nicole just reached out to Erica, the community, been dragged into being a community activist. And she's going to pop on with us right after the top of the hour. But can you believe that? Mike O'Brien, well, he's got heroin needles all over his district, drug vagrants doing car prowls and home break-ins. And he goes, do you agree the war on drugs didn't work? Like, what you've created is better? You can't possibly be that out of touch. Well, the Seattle Times is reporting that Mike O'Brien has just announced that he will not run for re-election. He's the fourth incumbent to say he is done being a city hall member. Rob Johnson, who got that scam job with the Seattle NHL team, still can't believe they hired that proven liar, Rob Johnson. Sally Bagshaw and Bruce Harrell, those are the four who have said that they are not going to run for re-election. Now, got to get some sane people in. Because there are a bunch of Kashama Sawant socialist Marxists who are hoping to get those council seats and take Seattle fully Marxist. And I am not kidding you when I say that. So it's breaking news. Mike O'Brien, I guess you'll just have to scam government contracts for your wife's business from outside of government now. Best 15 next.